he needs to get top specialists, you know, not just media people. He needs to get top specialists to now start selling his virtues, to sell what is that magic thing that the campaign hasn't started. Yes, but you can start in a subtle manner, you know, to sensitizing people as to what, you know, he has for them. I think that will put things in the balance rather than this abusive nature. I'd like to call on Mr. Bayo Onanuga. He owes Nigerians an apology for a statement he made. I know he probably made it out of anger or whatever, but he needs to be guarded. He needs to be guarded in the statements that he makes. He says that he's talking about, this is reported in The Punch. He says that it happened in 1993 and the result was clear. He's talking about this issue, that we have seen this before. All these campaigns to pitch us against. They are not campaigns to pitch you against Nigerians, Mr. Onanuga. Don't go along that path. It's a sensitive issue. Okay? It's a sensitive issue. You have your reasons for having done that, but I don't think, you know, it would be... That's why I said this aggressive reaction won't work. Okay? You have your rationale for doing it. It's a political move. If I were you, I'd just say, look, we've done it. Let's move on. We'll tell you what we have for you, and so on and so forth. But then, you see, the word is very, very important, and how you craft it. He says here, it happened in 1993, and the result was clear. There was pressure from several quarters for MKO Abiola to drop King Gibe because of this Muslim background. There's a debate on that, but I don't want to go along that path. Then he makes a statement that demands an apology. I pray people will come back to their senses to discover what they should be looking at. It's not religion, but the competence of the candidate. You don't use that kind of language as a spokesperson talking to Nigerians that you hope they will come back to their senses. I feel insulted. It's a sensitive issue, period. And I don't think that kind of abuse is going to help the candidates. To say that those of us who are expressing concerns like this, you hope we will come back to our senses. I think he said it off the cuff, to be fair to him. I didn't realize that as a spokesperson, every word that you say can be analyzed. And I'm looking forward to him, at the very least, if not offering an apology, explaining to people that, oh, it was a slip. I didn't mean it in that manner. But yes, I agree with the team to, you know, to say that, look, they can't drop. What is done. And because either which way now, it won't look good. If he drops it, that means he didn't know what he was doing in the first instance. So it's better to just keep going along that path. But then again, I repeat, the strategy on the part of the Tinubu camp should be not to go on the abusive and say people come to their senses and get irritated. Rather, take people's minds off it. If I were the spokesperson, I'd be saying that I can understand people's anxiety, but everybody should be rest assured that at the end of the day, you will see the reasons why we did this, rather than say that you hope people will come back to their senses. There are so many reactions here, if you want. The Vanguard also talks about Ganduje, others battle Babache over APC's, the APC, whatever. This is going to go on for a while. I plead with everybody to let, you know, to just keep the temperature low. This is politics. You have a decision to make. You have an option. Luckily, it's not a one-man, it's not a one-party state. What do you think about that statement, Sheriff?
Nothing. What now?
I can't. No, yeah, you just have gone out of your... I will pay you back.
No.
In less than 5 minutes.
So like you've said everything. Like there's nothing I want to add anymore.
No, the way you first of all said nothing, you know, you wanted to just bring me down.
No way. I mean, there's actually nothing to add to it. You covered it very well. If I must add, because you're looking at me like you must say something.
I hope, listen at home, part of what we try to do, as serious as these issues are, and we don't want to spoil your money, add a bit of fun. So don't take these things personal.
No, don't. If I must add, though, I think that you always say this all the time, and I want to borrow it. is that there is need for public office holders to at least take courses in public relations.
No, I think that
maybe executive courses.
No, I think that for something as big as this, you need a trained public. People always make that mistake. Yeah. A journalist might not look at Bayo. I'm sure said it with innocence. If somebody woke him up to tell him this is what's being said about Zebu Mutiswabe, you understand? He's a journalist, but a trained Yomi Badejo Okusanya won't make that kind of. He knows how to pick his words. Yeah. You know, if he's trying to think of something, he'll be saying "Egbon Egbon" and holding you, but he's trying to construct it in his mind. He's trained for that.
Yeah.
All the campaigns need specialists to handle this public relations function because it is very, 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 very vital.
It's not enough
to bring a former editor or former what to handle this kind of thing. At disposition and training doesn't allow for things like this.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But it's nothing against, I hope again, that this idea of attack.
Yeah.
You get it in the social media, abuse. It's not going to help the candidate.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. You're
supposed to, it's the same thing that Femi Adesina and Co. did early in Buhari's days when they had they had wailers and hailers and stuff like that. Mm. Your job is to unite people. You don't go start them, but you hope they will come to their senses.
Mm.
I mean, that's.
Emmanuel Smart on our Facebook live stream says they are fond of insults. His principal even told some people that we labor till die. He thinks we are fools.
No, I mean, Tinubu again himself has to be handled. Okay, he's made so many gaffes. I remember during the time of the NSARS, during the time of the time of NSARS, and during the time of the bullion van saga.
Mm.
Okay, he also needs to be handled, but that's why you need experts around him who would be saying things like "Ashiwaju, don't see anything, you know, don't get angry, don't." He has this. Larger than life image to himself, okay, and you can't blame him for that. If his surroundings, everybody's kowtowing towards him, but he needs to now absorb that, you know, to absorb the philosophy of being a leader and be more careful. I think it was unfortunate to call a Labour Party that they'll be labourers. What's wrong with being a labourer? What's wrong with the dignity of labour?
Yeah.
We're all labourers.
Yeah.
What's wrong with being a, what's, you know? But luckily in Nigeria, we are still not that sensitized to the world. So you get away with practically, but this other gentleman is right. Even in the social media, they just go on or they abuse, or he hates him. Fair enough, if the guy hates him, not everybody will like him.
After all,
why not face the subject that is being discussed? Or rather, sometimes silence can be golden.
Mm.
That's another lesson we need to learn. Lesson we need to learn. In sometimes, if I were the head of, if I were handling this project, this Tinubu project, I will no longer talk about this Muslim ticket. I'll just say, we plead understanding. That's what it should be. We plead understanding. You must learn to, you know, rather than get angry.
Yeah.
Getting angry shows some element of guilt.
Your friend, Aketi, also is in the papers. He said that people should rather talk about competence and not Muslim ticket.
Aketi is in a rock and a hard place. His own hometown, Owo, you know what happened there.
Yeah,
so Aketi is in a rock and a hard place, and he's trying to play both sides of the divide. That's what it is. And he's a Christian, you know. I mean,
yes, he's a Christian.
He's a Christian, and then it was in his hometown, Owo, that that massacre took place. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to play. That's why he's a politician. That's not Aketi the lawyer. Or Aketi that has been my friend almost, you know, we went to school together. But that's politics for you.
That's politics.
Yes.
Let's move on to the editorial.
Besides, the issue, I repeat for the umpteenth time, is not that it's not a matter of being right or wrong.
Mm.
It's that the perception that it leads to the general populace and the spin-off thereof is what we are talking about. There is no law in politics that says you can't do that. Sometimes you could do that just to, in fact, you could have a Muslim party. There's nothing, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know, but it's the ripple effect that we are talking about. Yes, sorry.
Right. Let's go to the editorial page of The Punch to have this piece here. Timely action needed to avert recession, job losses.
If I were to pay you back now, I'll say, okay, fine, put it down and then bring the next one. But I won't.
No, this is very important. This is extremely important.
That one was also important. You paid the early for that. Okay, you just need to find time to read this.
Yeah.
And it talks about the problems that we are facing here, which are known to everybody. Activities of terrorists, bandits, criminal elements, economy, attacks on power, telecoms, petroleum, gas infrastructure, and so on and so forth. The point is just raising concern to the government, about the current state of the nation, which is very, very dire, very, very dire. I got a report yesterday that I think it was Cold Street in Abel, in Surulere, Cold Street. Thieves or guys, whoever it is, went on a house-to-house raiding sometime last week. I don't know if it is true, it's unverified, but I heard it all the same. And so we're getting to the precipice, we're getting to a very dangerous point, and we need government's reaction and activity in this. But a paragraph caught my attention, as usual, and it says, more tragic is the inability of Nigeria to meet OPEC's 1.8 million barrels per day. So even our income has been compromised. We can't even meet our target. That's just how bad it is. And it says here, the point is here, to dig itself out of this hole, government must address mass poverty through strategic, innovative approaches against insecurity. We need some kind of plan, which is nowhere in sight. We need an immediate plan, a midterm plan, and a future plan. We don't have any. And when I saw, I don't know, where did I see this yesterday? It was from Liberal Soshoma. His video releases every week about how many times the president has traveled. If I tie it in with him saying that he's already tired, your guess is as good as mine as to what we might have to bear for the next few months until we have a new president. Thankfully, he's not on the ballot.
Okay. So I'm going to still stay with the Punch newspaper. We have this story on page 20 of the Punch. Let's see. So the story reads, we didn't pass Sharia law, says Lagos Assembly.
I don't know where that came from.
I have no idea. Like,
I
like,
don't know
seriously.
Where that came from. And this is part of what we face in politics. I wonder how the likes of Ashiwa do bear this. In the social media, it surfaced that the Lagos State House of Assembly has secretly passed the Sharia law to satisfy the Northern. And I said, the House of Assembly cannot secretly. But the reason why we're actually carrying this story is just to, for people who are, doubting Thomas's, there is no Sharia law that has gone through the Lagos State that has been passed by the Lagos Assembly. If you don't agree with this gentleman, please, at the very least, don't use wrong information. There's so much information about, especially him. You don't even know which is true and which is not. But I would rather not have us demonizing a candidate, really. Let's just look at the issues. I mean, if there are questions to be asked, yes, we can ask them. A lot of damaging things. And I think it's about time he too, put up some machinery to react to these things by bringing out the facts, not by going on a rampage, not by saying that these people are your detractors or whatever, but answer these, these queries, these anxieties that people have. You put yourself out there in the public, so you'll be talked about. Okay, but back to this, I can assure you there is nothing like that. This was like a sequel to, is an orchestrated plan. It's a sequel to this reaction to whatever. There are two different issues. So, for sure, the Lagos State House of Assembly itself has debunked the, and you can't pass a law, a bill secretly. It doesn't work like that. But we are usually reactive. We are always very, and all of us are like that. Yeah, everybody is tense at the moment. If you hear somebody, playing with a knockout just down the road, is that a gunshot? Okay, so for your information, there is no Sharia law that has been passed in Lagos State.
I'm going to take this comment from the chat room on Nigeria Info website. Imax 27 says, Uncle Jimmy, there is no doubt that Nigeria economy is in a sorry state.
Yes.
Like every day we get calls and complaints from listeners of how I mean, nobody even needs to tell anybody that the country is quite.
You feel it. You look. What, okay, as an individual, what do I get? The inflow has gone down, or is rather is going down.
It's going down.
The outflow has it has burst.
It's increased.
It's burst like you know, you go to the supermarket, or you go to the market. It's burst open. Okay, and what bothers me, because you are confronted on all fronts, the estate where I live in Suluri has almost fallen apart because we can't get diesel to buy it. It's a 20-something story building, so you can't have individuals having a better pass.
So we
can't do that. We can't get that. So it's there. It's staring everybody in the face. What hurts me is that I don't hear anything about an immediate plan. Look. In Abacha days, for example, there was something wrong. I've forgotten the main issue. It had to do with the supply of oil. The federal government under Sonny Abacha went and bought oil tankers immediately and got soldiers to drive it. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes it passes to find, okay, the government goes to buy rice or buy this or buy that to cushion the effect. In the UK, for example, they're looking at ways to cut down the cost of public transportation, subsidized in that manner. I don't hear anything. I don't hear concerning food. I don't hear concerning transportation. So what do? You now have workers who, one, are losing their jobs, are not paid on time. You understand what I'm saying? So the income. Yeah. So that translates to those small-scale businesses. It's a spiral effect.
That's right.
Things have gone up in the market. People are getting hungrier by the day. And there is pin drop silence as to what is being done. That is what bothers me. That is what bothers me. Rather, what you see in the papers are a long-term policy of this and that. And we should thank God that there's politics to keep us, to keep our minds occupied.
Occupied.
Like you rightly said, we should thank God that we have politics. Our minds are occupied on Christian, Muslim, Muslim. That's taking our minds off the real hunger that is biting Nigerians. I just pray that one day we will have an active government that is responsive to the yearnings of Nigeria. And I don't mean responsive in the political manner. Real response. At state, local government.
Action.
Everybody has been bound to the Philistines. Or like Babacha Lawal said, this is just a joke to the attempts of Israel.
He said it, actually.
He said it, but I mean, I don't mean it in the context in which he said it.
Let's go to The Nation. We have this story on page 5 of The Nation. I'm leaving no inheritance for my children, says Buhari.
That, what has that got to do with the rest of us? The mood in The Nation, you know, there's no story here, really, but it was the mood that I have. I said so and so what. But he says here something. He says, my focus has always been on training the children to be relevant wherever they find themselves. I told my children, particularly the girls, that they can only get married after getting their first degree. The question, sir, with due respect, if they were to go to a Nigerian university, they probably will never get married. But you see, a lot of our leaders, they taking care of their children. They're either in private universities at the very least or are in schools abroad. So I think that those who are highlighting this story didn't know the implications before pushing it out. Okay, this is a very sensitive. It's easy to say that about what do we say to our own children? What do we say to our own daughters? How can we say our own daughters will not get married until they are graduated? That they probably won't ever get married till they're about 40, with the way the education is being. So we need to, again, you need persons around people in power to handle the use of the word and the language. We're very lucky people are not sensitive to these things. Okay, he says that I'm not leaving anything for them to inherit. Sir, you're not leaving anything. A lot of us don't have anything. It's when you have something that you say I'm not leaving. That's what it is. We have to take you up on this, sir, that I'm not leaving anything to inherit, and my legacy is to ensure that they are properly educated. As president, your legacy should be that Nigerian children are properly educated, not just yours. That's the honest to God truth we need to tell ourselves. I'm glad this came out in the papers. It gives us an opportunity to tell Mr. President the way we feel. It's not about taking care of the elite and the powerful. A governor was in the paper the other day, proudly with his son and whatever, graduated from school in the here our universities have been, even when they were functioning, is from one crisis to the other. From one, if you take a walk to Marere Hall or any of the halls in University of Lagos run the school, you ask how could anybody get a degree out of this kind of situation.
You know? I mean, a typical example would be that anybody can just take a drive to any public university close to them and ask for government-built hostel, for instance.
Yes.
When was the last time government erected a building?
Now, look at the videos that surface in the social media about some of the hostels, some of the universities. Remember that university education, to my mind, it is almost like 60% 60% of formal education. The 40% is development. That's why back in the day in UI, when you go to the cafeteria, you're served. Because once you leave school, when there was no youth service, you go straight to level 8. You become a level 8 officer. If you're lucky, you're given quarters. And so you become an adult immediately. It's supposed to be, now we have graduated, our universities, downgraded them to secondary schools, where universities now have to have PTA, for example. We take out the initiative from the child. We have a mess on our hands, Sheriff. A mess on our hands. Now, back in 75, when I applied to go to University of Benin, I had never been there. I didn't know. I knew a student, K, from romping around with K Mamudu. He said, okay, let me go with you to Benin. I took a form. One day they told me my name was in the Daily Times. I got to the school. I only slept one night, you know, because I had to wait the following morning.
Yeah.
Immediately the following morning, I got my hostel. Two of us were in a room. I mean, look at what we have downgraded ourselves to. It's very sad.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And hopefully something urgent can be done too.
It's becoming almost impossible, Sheriff. Because over time, children that were born in the midst of this rot have now become adults. So they don't have the kind of fire that people like us have based on what we had seen in the past. They don't get it. And that's where the danger is. The Nigerian standard has been dropped. The average Nigerian graduate now doesn't have the kind of confidence we had when my first job was as an assistant editor. I applied as a reporter. My first job was as an assistant editor in Punch, not Abele paper. At that time, there was only Punch at Daily Times. Yes, there was no Concord, there was no Guardian, there was nothing. It was in Punch. I was able to get a job. I applied as a reporter. Samamaka said, no, this you, assistant editor. I have the letter. My own is not.
You still have the letter.
In fact, Philip, remind me to post that letter, please. And so I have the letter. My first. Eric Teriola will be laughing in his house now that Jimmy has started again. you know. So when you find that kind of fire burning, we have seen it happen before. And we have seen this country go degenerate over time. And it is very, 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 very painful.
We're going to drop our next story because I think we just dealt with it. The story, though, let me just read the headlines. Page 18 of the Vanguard, playing games with ASUU strike.
Oh, we've already spoken about that.
So let's move on to our next one here on page 4 of the Vanguard newspaper. Insecurity, IGP bans use of spy number plates nationwide.
We've heard this before, huffing and puffing over things like this. The IGP needs to reform the police. But in the short run, he can do certain things within a month to realign and reposition the police into relevance. I don't want to go through, we've spoken about it 1,000 times. We know what the compromise that happens with this spy number plate. And Nigerians always, they take glory in beating directives like this. Next thing you're going to hear is that, okay, only the IGP can approve, and then it's back to usual. Look at the number of people. I was told, for example, that there's a musician that has 5 policemen following him and another 5 in his house.
Wow.
One individual. Is that policing? This idea of providing security more or less exclusively for the elite is going to do much more collateral damage to the security of this country. Because what is happening is that the morale of the... Of course, those who are in these privileged positions have a fair idea how they get there. And it dampens the morale of the other people. Now, I am told you cannot necessarily run into a police station and say you have been robbed or whatever. You are not likely to get the kind of sympathy that... Also, the side effect of the NSAS, whatever. So the IGP needs to overhaul the police system, top to bottom, like the Baba would say. Top to bottom. But this is a slow, this is at least one step. So from now on, of course, all of you know what these spy numbers are. These are the cars that harass you. These are the, you cannot, it's as if we should tell the government should even ban the use of pickups. Because now every big man, as he's buying an SUV tinted, is also now buys a whatever with a strobe light and this aggressive horn to follow. Heaven help us all.
Yes,
we've got so many stories to do.
Yeah, quite a number here. Let me look for one. No, we can't. I can't look for anything again. We're out of time. We're really out of time. But what's coming up at nine, though?
At nine, I have an HR specialist.
Okay,
and we want to look at what determines remuneration. The imbalance in remuneration in the public sector is something. So I have a specialist coming over. I will take a very good look at it.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
God bless you.
Sheriff. You too. You too.
But I'm going to pay you back.
Which one?
The day I will hit you. All of you
pay me back with ES350 now.
What is ES350?
Your Lexus now. That your Lexus car.
These guys will hide my assets. If I drop dead and somebody produces a will that I willed everything to tell him, I'm not like my mom. I'm leaving something for my children.
We have to go.
Okay.
Thank you so much. That's our show, Lagos.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
I'll see you at 9, actually.
Yeah. Let's bring you the news. After the news, we continue our series on medical fraud. And we'll bring you an update on the story shared by Kelechi last week. That's our next conversation at 8. Stay here.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.